weeks. I've spent about 5 weeks struggling with this message this morning, and I've had my moments, had some down moments, had some good moments. I arrived this morning, God spoke to me in my sleep last night and in my waking hours, and just encouraged me. So I'm encouraged this morning and I'm excited. Really am. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 1 through to 14 in the Good News Bible. For me, this is one of the greatest passages in the Bible for me. I'll read it through first and then I'll go back and start just pulling things out from the reading so that we can identify with the journey that you and I are on in our lives, in our Christian lives. We're all on a journey, and some of our journeys are tougher than other people's journeys, I know that. But let's turn to Ephesians, first of all. From Paul, who by God's will is an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's people in Ephesus, who are faithful in their life in union with Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And now we get into the meat of this letter. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his sons. This was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. Amen. My friends, this passage of Scripture and another piece I'm going to read soon afterwards is still in Ephesians, but this passage we've just read really forms the basis and the foundation of our start of our journey with Christ. There are some beautiful, beautiful gifts in here. There are some colossal gifts. They're amazing. They are absolutely amazing. First of all, we read here, for in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Number one, this is the first fantastic gift that God has granted us in our journey with Him. Then we move, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ. He has chosen us. What a remarkable thing that before the world was made, that God Himself chose us to be His. There's a mystery here, I know, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to go through these wonderful blessings, these wonderful gifts which God has given us for the foundation of our journey with Him. So we've got two here. We've got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world, and we have God choosing us as His people before the formation of this world. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That God actually chose us before He made the world. God looked, He saw us, and He said, yes, Steve, David, Reinhold, Machada, Maureen, Helen, I have chosen you. I have chosen you to be my own. And I've chosen you right from the very beginning of time. Isn't that a remarkable thought? Isn't that a remarkable gift that God has given us? He has sought us out and He's chosen us. And we know that the majority of people in the world are not going to be with Christ. But He has chosen us to be His. We go to the next paragraph. So that's two fantastic gifts. Because of His love, because of God's love, He loved us. He must have to have chosen us. God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, He would make us His sons. This was His pleasure and purpose. God was so happy to do this. God was so happy to make us His sons. Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift that He gave us in His dear Son. So, the third item in this passage, that God gave His Son as a free gift to us so that we could be saved through Him to the Father. For by the death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. This is the fourth great promise in this passage, that not only we have the gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son, but also He has added to that the forgiveness of our sins forever. Isn't that a wonderful, magnificent gift? The forgiveness of our sins. So these are the four great things we have in this passage that forms the foundation of the beginning of our journey with God. And I don't believe really we could have had four greater gifts to us as His people. From verse 11, all things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be His own people in union with Christ of His own purpose, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. Again, He emphasizes that this was His plan from the very beginning of time. So Paul goes back almost to that verse where God chooses us, and he said it was God's plan from the very beginning. And in verse 13, it goes on and says, and you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put His stamp of ownership on you. God has put his stamp of ownership on us, saying that we are his. You know how in royalty, where they have the wax and the big imprint, the stamp of ownership, the stamp, the authority of God has been put on our hearts. By giving you the stamp of ownership on you, by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. So with the stamp of ownership comes the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the fifth great gift that God has given us in this short passage from Ephesians. Just almost overcoming just to think of those five amazing gifts that God gave us at the start of our journey. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing under heaven. He has chosen us before the world was formed. He gave us his Son as a free gift. He forgave our sins, and he blessed us by giving us the Holy Spirit and the stamp of ownership on our lives. In Ephesians, just a little bit further on in chapter 1, in verse 18, I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you. How rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people. So Paul goes on again saying that God is going to bless you with promises for his people. And how very great, now this is it, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. Just read those words again. And how very great is his power at work in us, us who are sitting here this morning, who believe. This power working in us is the same, now listen to this, as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death. We are sitting here this morning, folks, with that same power within us as the power that raised Christ from death. Can we take that in? It's almost too much, isn't it, to take in. But God, and it's worth reading again, really, how very great is his power at work. It's at work in us. God is working in us. That great power is working in us, even right now as we sit together here this morning. His great power is at work. Who believe? This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death. That is amazing. I wonder what that means to us this morning, just hearing that. That God's mighty great power is working within us, the same power that raised Christ from death. I want to move on. It seems hard to move on from that, really. But I want to just point out this morning that right through God's Word, there is so much of his Word telling us that he is working for us, that he is always caring for us, that he's always loving us. And it's God's work. It's God's work. It's not our work. It's God's work. We perhaps should just remind ourselves very quickly in John, where Jesus was saying, this is the very reason I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for him. And Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift. So we just remind ourselves this morning that it is God who does the work, And he is doing the work right through God's word in the Bible. And I can't, of course, bring out all the scriptures and all the verses that refers to God working and caring for us, but I've brought some of them out, and I want to just read through and just emphasize some of the things that are there, which I've chosen this morning. God's word is actually saturated with his care and love and help for us. In Romans 12:2, we read, "Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God." Now here's our part. Let God. We need to be positive and affirmative towards God. And when we read his word, we can use it for praying. When we read a little verse like this, "But let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind, then you will be able to know the will of God." So there's purpose in this word that God has for us. It is God's work. It is God's work. But it says, let God transform you. So God is asking us to be willing, to be in communion with God, in communication with him, to say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to work in me. I want you to transform me inwardly so that I know your love, but also to know your will." This is a part of this verse, so that we can know the will of God. Colossians 3:15, "The peace that Christ gives, is the guide, is to guide you in the decisions you make." So it's similar to Romans there, but it's the peace that Christ gives. It's not the peace that we have, but it's the peace that God gives. And so this is God's work still carrying on. It's not us, it's God. It's God all the time. And he will guide you in the decisions that you make. In Colossians 3:10, "God is constantly renewing us." Constantly renewing us. All the time renewing us. How wonderful to think that God is working constantly renewing us, even though we don't know it, maybe we don't feel it. But we can be assured by God's word and trust his word, because we would dare not say that God's a liar. We trust his word, we believe his word, and we know that he is constantly renewing us in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. There is purpose behind his work. In Philippians 1:6, "And so I am sure that God, who began this good work in you," one of my favorite verses, "will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus." So I am sure, Paul says, I am sure, there is no doubt, that God, who began this good work in us, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:11, "Your lives will be filled with the truly good qualities which only Jesus Christ can produce." Only Jesus Christ can produce. God's work again. God's work. It's completely saturated with God's work. Now, I want to just read to you a piece from a Christian book. And it's called, "Have You Heard About the Chinese Bamboo Tree?" That may sound a bit strange bringing it here, but it'll come clear to us. It's only a short piece. "The Chinese plant the seed, they water it and fertilize it. But the first year, nothing happens. The second year, they water and fertilize it, and still nothing happens. The third and fourth years, they water and fertilize it, and nothing happens. Then, the fifth year, They water and fertilize it. And something during the course of the fifth year, in a period approximately 6 weeks, the Chinese bamboo trees grow roughly 90 feet. Amazing. The question is, did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? The obvious answer is that it grew 90 feet in 5 years because, had they not applied the water and fertilizer each year, there would have been no Chinese bamboo tree. It's quite a telling piece, that, because this could be an indication sometimes of how God works in our life. He waters and he fertilizes us constantly, as we've read in the scripture, constantly. And he keeps on doing it, watering and fertilizing us in a spiritual sense. And then one day, God breaks through, and we have come to the point in our lives where we are letting God be God. And all of a sudden, there's a flowering, there's a growth which we've never known before in our lives. It happens in our life. And sometimes it does take years and years. Sometimes it's quicker for others than it is maybe for me. It's taken me years to realize how much God has invested in my life by his work in my life. And I've only just noticed fairly recently all these verses. Tremendous number of verses. And as I've said, so many of the verses I haven't been able to bring this morning because the time wouldn't permit it. But there are loads more verses similar to these about God's working in our life. It is God that's working. It's constant. Don't give up. Don't despair. God is not a liar. He's working for us for good. In Philippians 2:13, God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose. See again, Philippians, he's always working in us to make you willing. Just willing. We have our wills, and we can be strong in our wills too, and we can say no to God sometimes. But God is working to make us willing and able to obey, because sometimes it's hard to obey God's word. Sometimes we find we come to a wall, and it's very, very difficult, whatever the reason. But he is able to do this for us because he's working. He's working for us constantly. In Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for good with those who love him. So again, a wonderful verse. In all things, God works for good. In all things, not just some things, but in everything, God works for good. Whether it's ill health, whether it's terminal illness, whether it's whatever, family disruptions, God is working for good, even though it's hard to believe sometimes. But we've got to hang in there and believe, yes, God, I believe that you're working for my good, even though I'm finding this so, so terribly hard. Romans 8:26, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are. We've got to admit that, don't we? For we do not know how we ought to pray. That's a bit of a sobering thought, isn't it? We don't know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit is pleading for us before God. He's pleading for us. Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. Holy Spirit, you're so wonderful. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is. So God sees the Spirit pleading, and he sees what the Spirit is saying to him on our behalf. The Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. That's important. and in accordance with God's will. There's another little piece here. Well, it's a little bit longer than the other one, but it's not too long, which I thought I would just bring because it's really quite touching and it could mean something to some of us here this morning. It's from an experience from Joni Erickson, and it's headed "The Privilege of Dust and Ashes." Joni Erickson says, "Let us in." Oh no, Joni Erickson let us in on what she calls a personal secret. She says, "There are times in prayer when I feel too overwhelmed by sin, too earth-stained, too dry or dull, or even to approach the Father. Many of us, even if we're far along in our prayer journey, have experienced similar feelings." Joni confesses, "Sometimes I don't even have the nerve to speak to the Son. I'm too humiliated, too grieved, too dust-dirty to speak to Jesus. Fairest Lord Jesus, you have died on the cross for me. You have given me everything, but I'm sorry, Lord. You shouldn't even be seeing me like this." And we know that she was stricken to a wheelchair for 40 years, and she was unable to do most things that most people can do. At such times, she turns to the Holy Spirit, and this is the part, who is the Comforter, and asks him to sit next to her. She prays, "Here I am, Holy Spirit, in dust and ashes, licking the dirt, face down, covered with soot, stained, marred. Light the psalmist before me. My soul cleaves to the dust. Hear my prayer, dear counselor." It's a wonderful picture, I think, is it not? Where Joni turns to the Holy Spirit and asks him to come and sit beside her. I can picture that myself. I can picture myself sitting down and saying to the Holy Spirit, "Would you come, dear Holy Spirit, and sit beside me? I know you are within me, but come and sit beside me. You are my comforter. I'm in a dreadful mess, a horrible mess. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I know you can help me. I know you can get me through this by your power, by your love, by your concern." And just that scene where the Holy Spirit is sitting down beside this crippled young lady is a wonderful picture that we can all, I think, experience just by asking the Holy Spirit to come and sit with us. Romans 8:34, "And Christ is at the right hand side of God, pleading with him for us." Another verse, Jesus pleading with God for us. We move on. God working. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet our spiritual being is renewed day by day." That's another verse with a similar meaning to it. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet our spiritual being is renewed day by day. Again, God is working in us day by day, renewing our spirit, renewing us spiritually. 1 John 2:1, "If anyone sins, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ." So if we sin, we have somebody who pleads with the Father on our behalf that we have sinned, Lord. And Jesus Christ is there with the Father, pleading with him on our behalf. God has given us gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts also in our journey. This is something else he's given us. I'm not going to go into the spiritual gifts as such, but just to read a couple of verses. "But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes," as the Holy Spirit wishes. not as we wish. He gives a different gift to each person. 1 Corinthians 12:18, God put every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. So we can't go to God and say, I don't like the gift you've given me, Lord. I want that one. Can't do that, can we? But some of us, I think, would love to do it and want to do it and desire to do it. And the Bible does say we can desire certain gifts, but at the end of the day, it's God's choice. God knows what's best for us. He knows what suits us. And sometimes when we hanker for something, spiritual gift, sometimes God will relent. And I've read a story about something like that happening, and the person's life was the most miserable life after that that he'd ever had. So God knows what is best for us. God chooses. It's God's work. It's God's gift, not our gift. Not our gift to say, at least, I want that one. Not at Christmas time, do we? We don't say, I don't like that gift you've given me. Give me another one. Yeah, terribly rude that would be, and even rude to God to say that. So let's accept God's word, that it is his privilege, that it is his choice in our life, that he should choose our spiritual gift. I wonder how many people here this morning know what our spiritual gifts are. Let's speak to the Holy Spirit and just talk to him and say, Lord, I just don't seem to know what my spiritual gift is. I believe that you've given me one. And just pray with him. And just, Father, can you warm my heart towards that spiritual gift that you've given me, please? And he will show you. He will show you in time. He will. Hebrews 2:4, at the same time, God added his witness to theirs by performing all kinds of miracles and wonders and by distributing the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Just to emphasize that point, according to his will. Okay, now we've also got the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. We've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Now, I know that some of us, and myself included, look at some of these fruits and say, oh dear, patience, that's something that I have not got and I'm not good at, and I must try harder. I must, you know, really try harder and work at getting patience in my life because I'm not a patient person. Self-control, which is similar, I guess. Kindness. Do I have kindness in my life as I should have it? Love. Do I love our fellow Christians, even the ones that annoy us? Do I love them? Do I have that love in my heart? Do I have the joy? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know. I don't know about you folks. But I think a lot of us do look at these fruit of the Spirit, and we do pick out ones and we think, oh yes, oh dear, you know, that is not good. I'm really bad at that. I need to really brush up on that. I need to do something about it. No. The verse 5:22, but the Spirit produces. That's the key word. The Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. It is the Spirit that produces it. It's God's work again. It's not our work. We've got no hope at all to make ourselves more patient. In fact, it can work the other way, I guess. The harder we try sometimes, the worse it can get. So please, this is all God's work. We have to, our part, is to cooperate and say, yes, Holy Spirit, I want you to develop the fruit in me. I want you to keep working on me so that these things will show out in my life. That I will have patience through your Spirit, through you producing it, Lord. And God, again, will work and work hard to produce these things in our lives. And just a couple of little skittery things here, just little sentences out of Galatians 5:18. If the Spirit leads you, we need to cooperate with God. We need to let him lead us, He's there to lead us. So we've got to be willing. That's our part. We've got to be willing that he leads us. And we've got to ask him to lead us. Galatians 5:16, I'm leaving words out here. Let the Spirit direct your lives. Let the Spirit direct your lives. Let the Holy Spirit do it. It's his work. Let him direct our lives. Holy Spirit, please direct my life. I'm in a difficult position here in work. I don't quite know what turn to take. Please direct my life, Lord. I will let you do that, Lord, because I'll be willing. But it's God's work. God's work. Let the Spirit direct our lives. And of course, the whole armor of God is provided by God. It's all God's work. 2 Corinthians 3:5. I just mentioned some things in passing. I can't have time to go into everything at all. There is nothing in us, as 2 Corinthians 3:5, that allows us to claim that we are capable of doing this work. Nothing at all in us that allows us to think that we're capable of doing this work. That's just the truth, that's all. That's the bare truth. And Joni Erickson, just a little quote, likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve. It is by God's power. Serve the Lord, and it's by his power, and his power only, we can serve too. Very true. James 1:5-6, pray for wisdom and he will give it. James 1:22, put God's word into practice. God's word is there to put it into practice. That's our part. We need to practice. Hebrews 13:5-6, God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Here's God's promises again. Let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. He is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? God is protecting us. God is our helper. He will never abandon us. He'll never leave us. Hebrews 4:16. Let us be brave then and approach God's throne. Where there is grace, there we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Just when we need it. God will help us just when we need it. Oh, folks. And here, almost to wind up, I think, Romans 8:38. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promise? There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. God's love, God's care, God's work. Unbelievable, but it's true. It's there. Don't be afraid of God changing us. God, of course, we've read, wants to change us. But don't be afraid that, you know, somehow we're thinking that, oh dear, maybe God's going to change me into something I don't like. I don't want to be. But that's silly, isn't it? And it's stupid, really. Because God wouldn't do that. God's going to, if he's going to change us, and he will do it so gently and beautifully, and sometimes without us even knowing it. I know that myself. That God changes, and all of a sudden you just realize that something's happened, maybe over a period of weeks or months or whatever. But don't be afraid, because God will do everything for our best. He won't want to do something nasty, to give us something bad. God only wants to do the very, very best for us. His plans And remember, his timing are perfect. And the timing in our life can be so very important. It's God's timing, not our timing. Sometimes we can preempt certain situations and we think, oh gosh, you know, I want to really get onto this, or I want to do this, and oh, I'm going to do it, you know. But it's, you don't feel peaceful about it. And sometimes we don't feel right about it. We do something, but it's not God's timing. It's not his perfect timing. And we're to wait for him, and he will show us his perfect timing. Hard to wait. Hard to wait. But again, the fruit of the Spirit, he will help us. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. May God bless us this morning. May he take us in his hands as clay and mold us into the vessel he wants us to be. Because he is the potter and we are the clay. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you are constantly working in our lives. We thank you for those foundational gifts we read in Ephesians earlier on. Father, we just are overcome by your word, by your love, and we give you thanks and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, folks, we'll just throw over this part of the service to anyone who wants to come up and share.